Ask the Podcast Coach for February 14th. Oh, it's Valentine's Day, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, get your chocolates out. Your roses for $97 million a rose. And welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you can get your podcasting questions answered live. I am your host, Dave Jackson, from theschoolofpodcasting.com. And joining me after, I wasn't the one with the technical problems today. Yay! Jim is nice enough to join us wherever he is. And he's out in Omaha, but he's actually from theaverageguy.tv, the one, the only Jim Cullison.
Greetings, Dave. Welcome, or I should say thanks for bringing me in live from the Gallup Studios this morning and just coming back from internet hell is where I've been. I came in this morning. Usually I'm in a studio and normally I just log in. Everything works and, you know, we got some super fast computers in here and all kinds of good stuff. And it didn't work. Nothing worked this morning. No matter what I did, I could not get. I went to Chrome. I used IE. I'm actually coming to you through IE on Hangouts. That's Chrome kept crashing on me. And so who knows, right? But I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I had a thing this morning. We talked last week. First of all, everything I tried this morning went because I thought, oh, I need to set up my Joyride campaign. And it was weird. I'm not quite sure how, but when I switched the feed from Ask the Podcast Coach, it was originally on the School of Podcasting and moved it over to askthepodcastcoach.com. And the name of the show was Ask the Podcast. That was it. No coach. So when you set up a campaign in Joyride, the first thing you have to do is go find your show. And I'm like, that's weird. I'm not here. Then I typed in, I think, Dave Jackson, and here came all my shows. I typed in Jim Cullison. There's all your shows. I'm like, that's really weird. So I finally found it. And then according to Joyride, there's no email associated with that. I'm like, well, that's really weird. I checked my feed. It is. So no Joyride campaign yet because I'm waiting for them to send me some sort of – they have to verify that you own the show, which makes sense. But all the automated stuff went on that. So then I came over to, I said, hey, we're going to try to do this direct connect thing on Blog Talk Radio because we connect via the phone. And so I did that and it said, hey, you can't direct connect on a Mac unless you're on Chrome. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I downloaded Chrome, installed it, connected to it, and it would connect and it would say connected. And I'm like, great. And I had Spreaker and Mixler set to go and I could see everybody was blinking. So it wasn't controlling that. But it would then disconnect in about 15 seconds, and it never showed in my dashboard that I was connected. So we're connected back again via the phone. Speaking of that, you can dial in at 347-850-8007. That, again, is 347-850-8007. So as we've been saying, you know, Blog Talk Radio has been nice enough to let me kick the tires as they get ready to roll out different systems. And now I get to make a video this morning to say, hey, guys, this doesn't work. But it's been a fun day. It is Valentine's Day as we do this. So if you have a significant other, let them know that they're significant today. And do it by buying really expensive flowers that are normally about, you know, 15 bucks a dozen. And now they're going to be 50 today.
Just gigantically enormous prices for that kind of stuff. We Sarah and I were married on February 24th, so just 10 days after Valentine's Day. So years ago, we said, let's just combine them. It doesn't make sense to do that. So we clear the Valentine's Day fiasco, and then I end up always getting her roses after the fact, and they're significantly cheaper on February 24th than they are on February 14th.
Yeah, that's me. I'm like, maybe next week I'll buy her some roses and go, here, honey, and then we can take the money I was going to spend on roses and go to dinner.
Well, we did do dinner last night. It was tough getting with Valentine's Day being on a Saturday. A lot of people, apparently a lot of people celebrated last night. So we had a hard time getting a table somewhere.
Yeah. So, hey, we do have a question from our good friend Michael Ray. And this is actually a pretty interesting question. We've been last week we had Ken in the Facebook groups. And this week this is an interesting one. And I'll be interested to hear your take on this. So before I hit play, here we go.
Dave and Jim, good morning. This is Michael Ray. I had a question about parking websites. So let's say if you went and bought, let's say, four websites and you're going to use the one main one for the podcasting, but you just kind of want to park the other ones with just like a landing page, I know how to get the email on them, but just something that's just kind of like just has one page, nothing fancy. I didn't know what a cheap way of doing that was. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and good morning. Happy birthday, Dave. Sorry, I'm late.
Thank you very much. It's one of those things, I've never parked a domain. I'm not even sure what schoolofpodcasting.net goes to right now. Most of the time, I just redirect them to the real one rather than park them. And usually if I buy a domain, because I just bought two, I usually don't leave them. I usually point them at something. And so the question would be, if I wasn't going to point them to something, what would I do? And this is where on HostGator, it's the difference of 80 cents a month of having the account where you can have one domain or multiple domains, because you could install WordPress just to put up, it's kind of overkill, but you could, set up WordPress and have just a single page website. Let me see here. Yes, the, here we go. Yes, it's $7.16 a month for the Hatchling plan at HostGator, which means you only have one domain. It's $7.96. So yes, it's a difference of 80 cents a month to have multiple domains on one hosting plan. So you could actually have multiple websites on one hosting domain, pending that they all don't get wildly popular. Jim, do you ever park any domains?
No, I haven't. I've got some that I'm not using. There is a theory there's some advice that some guys have given me that you don't, some people buy a bunch of domains and then you think, okay, I'm going to forward those domains to my one, say you have one podcast domain. In my case, it's theaverageguy.tv. And I might buy averageguy.tv. I might buy, and this is theaverageguy.tv.com type stuff, and point them over, if people are making mistakes or they can't find it, pointing over. There are some thoughts, and I'd like to get clarification on this, that's not good, that Google does not honor that, forwarding a bunch of different sites to all to one. I need some clarification. I wouldn't say that's a great idea until I got absolute proof, but one of my web guys says Google is not in favor of that from a web crawler SEO standpoint. So he never recommends that I do that. One of the things you could do, though, if you wanted to do it inexpensively, for a landing page. So I think this is really a good way to do it, is create a landing page for that has links to your, so brand it to look like your site and then bring links over, and that would actually be good. And this is, we haven't talked about this in a while, but Azure would be a good place to do this. So you get 10 free websites on Azure. Set up an account. If you're a new customer, they'll give you 100 hours worth of their services for free, but they have these generic websites at Azure that you can set up. You can run WordPress on them. Now, it's no better than a shared hosting provider, right? That's kind of what you're doing with Azure, Microsoft Azure. Just go to azure.com. You get these 10 free websites. You can install 10 instances of WordPress on these websites. Very easy. Really, seriously, a couple clicks and you're up and running with WordPress. And then you're going to get a site. You're going to name it. So it's going to be myowebsite.azurewebsites.net. That's going to be the URL you're going to get. You could then point your parked domain over to that as a landing site for free. That would work for free if you want to do it. With Azure, if you want to register your domain there, that's going to cost you a couple more bucks a month if you want to do it that way. So like if you go to theaverageguy.me, that's my running blog, my personal running blog, that's an Azure hosted site. I pay a couple more bucks a month to get them to host that for me and send it over. But that wouldn't be a bad concept for a landing page. And if you had, anywhere between 0 and 10 sites you wanted to park, and then point them over there to a landing page, that might work as well. It looks like we have a caller, Dave.
We do. Ending in 8171. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, guys. Jason Bryant, Short Time Wrestling Podcast, MattTalkOnline.com. Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day, gentlemen. That sounds a little weird, but I mean it in the most platonic way possible.
Absolutely, my man. You are on fire. You are,
That's not a term I want. I'm not trying to have an on fire podcast.
Yeah, let's go.
Guys.
You are
break that scene.
Yeah, let's. You are having lots of success in your area of podcasting. How's that?
That is that's true. I'm just once the checks come in, then I call it success.
Right.
Commitments are commitments until the check is inserted into the account via the Wells Fargo mobile deposit app.
Nice. Excellent.
Or PayPal, whichever you prefer.
Right. Absolutely.
So here's my question, and just to give those listening a little bit of background, I had asked Dave a question about, I'm producing a digital guide for the NCAA Wrestling Championships, a fan guide. I've done this the last 2 years with the various companies that I work with, and it's something that I'd always done, at least done last 2 years. I'm being independent now. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to sell it. So Dave gave me the heads up on Gumroad.com, which I've actually set up pre-sales. The first day I've got 5 pre-sales already, so I'm already ahead of the game. So my question, though, is I had this idea when I was running out to get some children's Tylenol for my daughter last night, which, you know, it stinks when you have a sick kid. But I'm sitting there going, I want to throw a promo code, an offer code in there on Gumroad, which is actually very easy to set up. Again, Dave, thanks for that tip. And I wanted to plant kind of like an Easter egg. If those are out there familiar with like video games and stuff, it's like a hidden thing in a game. And what I want to do is do a podcast episode that is only available for subscribers, people that actually listen via iTunes, RSS, or Stitcher. I'm not going to post it on SoundCloud. I don't want to post it as a blog post on my page. I want this to be kind of a thing where I give them a promo code to get a discount for people that are they're only going to find it if they subscribe to it. And I'm just racking my brain on how to do this. I understand. I mean, I have most of my shows with Libsyn, but I don't use, with the short time feed, I kind of break that out into two separate feeds because I have two shows on that feed. Okay. And it's like, okay, how do I put a episode out that's not going to show up? Because if I'm using PowerPress, it's kind of got to be a blog post or a post in that category to show up in the RSS feed. So I'm curious
there's
a strategy, because I basically want to say, okay, go ahead. Go for it. I am all ears.
If you go into the settings of PowerPress, but what you can do is you can tell it, because normally you don't need this option, but you can tell it on a per episode basis, do I want to show the player or not? And so when you turn that feature on, when you go into your post, you will see where it says display player or not. So you could do your blog post still and then say, by the way, to hear this episode, subscribe in iTunes. And so it's still there, right? The actual file, the enclosure, if we're going to get all geek speak on it, you know, the RSS still sees the episode, but it's not on the blog for people to listen to. Would that be enough for what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think that is. But again, I use the Appendipity Podcast Pro theme. I don't actually use the PowerPress player on my main site. So, yeah, so you see what I'm running into. So, I mean, first of all, I want to know if the concept makes sense to maybe kind of plant something just for subscribers versus putting this promo code out in social media. I mean, I want people to buy it full price, but I want people that are listening to the show and subscribing, not just hitting play on the website. So I know kind of where that core listener base is, if they are going to kind of engage. It's not necessarily an A/B split test by any means, but it's like, I want to know how many people are subscribing. And if plant this Easter egg in there and be like, hey, if you're hearing this, you subscribe. Therefore, here's a special deal for this championship guide that I'm putting out. I'm going to save $5 off of it.
The other thing you could try, and I'm not sure how this would work, just make a Word document a PDF. I don't know if that would show up, because I know you can podcast a PDF. That sounds weird, but that could be your media, and that would go down into iTunes. iTunes would know what to do with that. It's just how many people are going to click on that and see it. That is something I have never experimented with. I know there was a software company that sent their entire, like every chapter of the software manual was delivered via PDF via the iTunes store. And I was like, well, that's kind of different. So that might be something to experiment with. Are we getting any help from the chat room? We're all going, make a new post type and don't.
Well, has anybody ever thought about that before? I mean, I'm sure somebody's thought of it, but I mean, I haven't heard it as a topic on any of the Bonfire podcasts about podcasts.
I like the idea. I've always just done it. You know, any coupon codes, you know, use Ask20 to save off at the school of podcasting kind of thing. I've always just done in the podcast, rather than send, you know, a special blurb. I'm trying to see if there's a way to do that even with Appendipity themes. And it's fun to say appendipity because you have to think about it when you do it. It's like, is it appendipity?
Yeah, but you know how much autocorrect changes that when you try to type it in an email or a text? The red line hits you.
Yeah, just to, for anybody watching on video, come on. Oh, wow, I want to share my screen and my screen locked up. That's always fun. I want to share my screen.
It's been that kind of morning, hasn't it?
It has been that kind of morning. All right, so in theory.
Internet God's not favoring us.
I'm clicking on share. This must be a major resource hog because it's all right.
Google's having.
And this is always good live.
I see Mike Dell in the I see Mike Dell in the chat room. I might shoot him an email on this as well because I see him chiming in.
So. Yeah, or call on in, Mike, because we can have more than one caller. It says I'm sharing, but I don't see anything. But anyway, it's on the screen. I went to PowerPress. I went to settings. Under the basic settings, the option there is display player and link options. And that's what you would do to turn that on. What I don't know is if I...
Trouble.
Well, I mean, you still have, with the appendipity theme, you still post it into PowerPress, and it then shows on the appendipity player. So they can work together. What I don't know is, yeah, see, if you put it there and you say, don't display the player, appendipity probably still is. I'll have to test that and let you know.
Well, I know in the appendipity box, if you click hide player, it will actually hide
that would
big,
work.
Huge player.
You could try that. And then there's one for the actual little player as well, I believe. But that would be something to test with. But
well, it's okay. Well, I mean, the tech is one thing. What do you think about the idea of doing something like that? Where you know, a lot of people we put up blog posts, we put up tweets about programs. Like, hey, we got this. Well, this is one that I want. You know, like I said, it's the hidden discount for those that only get it through you know an actual subscriber feed. You know, I mean, what do you think of that strategy?
I like it because I'm listening to the book right now from Audible. It's called Contagious. By Jonah Berger, and he goes into, there's like six reasons that things go viral. One of them is, like you want to be the cool guy at the party that actually says something that people are like, wow, that Dave is so interesting. He knows everything about podcasting, that type of stuff. That's just part of it. But one of them is he had two websites that had the exact same product. And to make a long story short, the one that sold the most was the one that almost like a Sam's Club. You had to be allowed into it to buy it. And that company, because people thought they were getting a better deal because they were one of the insiders, it actually made them sell more product. So it's really, it's the combination of science and marketing kind of type of thing because they did a lot of like huge studies on it. So it's worth a shot. The good news is it's not going to hurt anything. You know, so if you do it, it'd be a fun thing to see how many people actually redeem the coupon code. Make the coupon code something people can type because every week I get somebody who can't spell the word listener. I get listner a lot, listener. And I'm like, it's listener. So make it something like, you know, like I don't know if I would use wrestle. I would think wrestlers would know how to spell wrestling, but somebody's going to leave off that.
Oh, dude, you know how many times I've put the L before the T? And I write the word wrestling probably 700 times a day. You know, it's even in my email address, you know. I mean, I even had a guy on DirecTV yesterday say, "Hey, I noticed wrestling in your email address. What do you do?" And I'm like, "If come to find out this guy wrestled at a pretty well-known high school. We knew some of the same people. And this is like a DirecTV customer service rep." So yeah, wrestling. I've had customer service reps type it in wrong as well. So I might need to find like a simple email address. That's another topic entirely. But yeah, wrestle is not a term I'm going to use for the promo code.
Yeah. Mike is saying something here in the chat about playing with post types. That might help him out. And that is another area that I've never played with post types. I know they're what they do and you can set up a template. Cause I always thought I should have like a podcast template that already has all my iTunes stuff in it and newsletter and things like that. Everybody's typing in their favorite words to misspell. Mine is because. I know how to spell because. I know it's B-E-C-A-U-S-E, but I still type it B-E-C-U-A-S-E. And the good news is Microsoft Word will it will automatically switch that until you go over and type something in Scrivener, and then it doesn't. So that's always fun. But Jim, thoughts on the hidden Easter egg code? What do you think?
No, I like the idea. I mean, I think the idea is sound. I'd go with it. The implementation, I don't have any idea.
Yeah, that's because it's one of those things to like throw it on the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah, if it works, go with it.
The
for sure, give it a try.
The last episode of Radiolab, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to listen to Radiolab talk about combining science with like pop culture. Number one, they threw out some stats that there are more people on Facebook than there are Catholics, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of people. And they talked about this whole thing on between Christmas and New Year's, more photos were uploaded to Facebook than Flickr than are on Flickr, period.
All time.
Yeah. And I went, holy cow, that's a lot of photos. And everybody was trying to get them pulled down because in some cases it was my ex, but they did weird things, like they said a puppy picture was like hate crimes or things like that. And so there's this whole thing about how they got people to they try to basically get people to talk to each other. Like, hey, why don't you just tell your friend to pull down the picture? And they went through all these different ways of crafting the message. And it's amazing how one little tweak will get people to act. So, Jason, I'm not sure what the code would be or things like that, but it'd be great to, definitely give it a shot and let us know how it works. Did we lose Jason?
Yeah, that's what I'm curious, because I'm wondering if this could be a strategy that other people could use if they, if there's been a couple different episodes of various shows recently that have had, I think Daniel had a segment on it. I think Eric K. Johnson said something in his last set of tips is, sell something. So I'm selling something. I am a peddler.
Well, I will say this, that probably, and I'm just making this, 25% of the people. Of the people that sign up at the school of podcasting use a coupon code. And that coupon code is only given on a podcast. It's somebody who's listened to me. So it's they definitely are worth it. So it's worth a shot. You just don't want to make it too hard to get to. So
yeah, that's the idea. It's basically like, all right, I know if you're subscribing on iTunes, and the episode comes in, it's not even gonna be like a named episode. It's not gonna be in my right. Numerical order. It'd be like Easter egg. I might even call it Easter egg because,
right.
That's what those things. And, I'm playing Mortal Kombat growing up. It's like Noob Saibot. That's an Easter egg.
Excellent.
That's for those that like video games.
Cool. Beautiful. Well,
all right, Jason.
That's all I got for this week, guys.
All right, my man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Love the show.
Yep. Take care. All right. I did put a thing in the chat room. I'm going to buy this today. The guy behind WordPress SEO, Yoast DeVault, just came out with a book, since we're talking SEO a little bit. It's $14, and it's normally $19, so it's and here's something that's let's do the math on that real quick. It's $5 off. And again, this Contagious book talks about this, that in this case, it would be smarter for him, instead of saying $5 off, to say 14 divided by 19, what is that? That's actually 24% off. See, it would sound better if he said it's 24% off today, as opposed to $5, because it's a bigger number. But it's a book on SEO. It talks about keyword strategy, site structure, and content writing. And you can find him at Yoast, that is Yoast.com. I love his plugin. And, SEO is always fun because you can buy this book in a year from now to be completely outdated because Google will change all their algorithm. And hey, that's fun. As he looks down, guess what's not working anymore?
Phone line?
My recorder.
Oh, bummer.
I have no idea why. It's pretty hard to turn Google, off.
Yes. Google will back us up today.
Well, and this is where I will definitely not delete the Spreaker call.
Right.
I wonder why that happened. Oh, I know why. My battery's dead and I have it plugged into. Yeah, this is the problem right here. This is the power cable.
Oh, nice.
It's not plugged into anything that's providing power. So my batteries are dead. And that would be why. That's there you go. Lesson learned, kids. When you're podcasting, you might want to plug stuff in. That that seems to work much better that way. So I'll go ahead and hit record anyway, just for giggles. but
you get some part of that. I was listening to a back episode the other day, and I could tell we were talking, and the audio was okay, and then boom, yeah. Really good.
It's crystal clear.
Like, oh, Dave spliced that one in.
Yeah. It's always fun doing that, just to hear just the difference. Now, maybe if we're in voice mode, you know, and I could take out some of the hiss and keep some of the clarity, things like that, it may not be quite so obvious. But, yeah. So, let's see here. Well, we should probably... go ahead.
I got a really nice review for the first time in a while on iTunes. I don't ask for those a lot. And so Daniel's plug-in kicked one out for me this morning. That was really nice to get that. I always underestimate the power of a positive review, you know. And when I don't solicit them very much, maybe, oh, every other month or so, I'll say, hey, you know, if you're thinking about it, go write a review on iTunes. But for my own shows, I don't game those systems very often. In fact, we'd have a huge potential at Gallup to do that. With the number of listeners that we get both live and listening to the recorded versions. So it was nice to get a review. And then this week, as I was looking back at my Spreaker stats, you know, we broke 1,000 audio downloads on Spreaker per week it's right at 1,000 for 3 weeks in a row. And, so, you know, I turned on the RSS feeds. I'm a self-hosting guy, but for various reasons, I let Spreaker be our host here at Gallup. Mm-hmm. And for one, it's free for the most part, right? I mean, since we partner with iHeartRadio, we've got a gajillion hours worth of stuff for them. And even if I had to pay for it, it wouldn't be that much. And we're getting some really nice, we're seeing some nice download numbers. And so it's been fun to do that whole process here at work and get that done, you know, get the RSS feed set up, submit new iTunes, get it. This week we got it submitted to Stitcher. That had been one question I'd seen in the Facebook group. How long does that take? That's a couple weeks process just to get Stitcher to kind of pay attention to you and get those put in. You know, we've done all those things, Tune In and some of the other ones. I've got a few more I need to put them on. But it's been fun to watch. So we started this all on Facebook, YouTube. And so we were video only, no subscribe options. You caught it on YouTube, or nothing. And then we came back to the audio stuff. And I'm seeing more and more people make their way over to audio. So the other question along those lines, Dave, and let me throw this out to you. I'm seeing podcasters say, is there any value to audio only YouTube bits, right, that are out there? What do you think?
No, is my aunt. Well, here's, he's not in the chat room today. On the new media show, Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast, was talking about how he had done this, and it was something ridiculous. Like 95% of the people had tuned out within like the first 3 minutes. It was really quick. And then of the people that stuck around, like another 25% dropped off in the next 3 minutes. So like within like 5 minutes, you've lost like 98% of your audience. Like nobody is watching. I haven't really checked our stats because we are a talking head podcast, but we do switch from time to time and we've got people calling in and things like that. So based on that, now I haven't looked at, I know Spreaker has the thing now where you can post things to YouTube. I know Hanny over at Simple Podcast Press is working on integrating that into the plugin. I've never listened. And again, it's because I consume podcasts on my phone.
Right.
On one hand, I kind of go, hey, it doesn't hurt. It's free. I just don't know. You know, so on the other hand, if it doesn't cost anything, it doesn't hurt anything, why not?
Yeah. I'm not sure it hurts anything. Yeah. Again, Spreaker has got that down to an art. I mean, you enable YouTube as a channel on your Spreaker on the settings page, and then all you have to do is leave. There's a box that you just leave unchecked once it's connected, And when you're done with your show, it automatically moves it over to YouTube, and it takes your background art in there, and that's what it makes the as far as what's in the screen when you're playing it. So if you have really good art there at Spreaker, it'll show up. I think if YouTube's subscription engine was better, by the way, YouTube, can you fix your subscription stuff? If it was better, I think it would be dynamite. It'd be a no-brainer at that point. You can push some SEO over there in both your title, and if you're not doing video at all, and this is the only way to get on YouTube, YouTube has enormous SEO power.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible SEO power. So if 1 in 100 people listen to it, even 25 minutes into it, you might pick up a listener. So if you're not paying for it, if it works, I don't think you get dinged for it.
Right.
So I'd say try it. If you're a struggling podcaster to pick up an audience or whatever, and you're using Spreaker, it doesn't cost you anymore. They send it over for free, and they do it automatically.
See, that's cool.
You post it, boom, it's over there in about 20 minutes, bam, it's up and running. It could be longer, but so I don't know. I don't think it hurts.
Here's the bonus of that too. You know, obviously it'll get posted there. If you use PrettyLink, like I can't link directly to iTunes in a YouTube video. It'll go, what are you doing, right? But if I make, schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes, it knows that schoolofpodcasting.com is like my official website. It's in my Google profile on that. So I can send people to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes and go in and do an annotation and say, if you'd like this show, click here to subscribe, and send people to iTunes. You can also, or Stitcher, or wherever else you got to do it. You've just got to use a PrettyLink, because if you try to send them to Stitcher.com, that's not one of your, quote, official. I'm not sure what the verbiage is there. But you can put links in YouTube videos. You just have to go back later and put them in as annotations. So,
We didn't even talk about annotations. Once that video is over there, build your Spreaker art, because you don't get a lot of value, I think, out of your Spreaker art in itself. It's over there, but yeah. I think most, because it's an audio only platform, build it in a way you can go back and use it with annotations. Like put a little subscribe, a little subscribe word in the art, and then you can go back and put a square around it for annotations. Craig says in chat, let's see if he did go away, perhaps throwing audio into YouTube with a static picture or slideshow could cheapen good video that you previously published. I would agree with him on that. If you're already producing a video podcast and you're already, this is my case, you're already publishing that to YouTube, I don't think you need to create an audio-only version.
Right.
Again, if YouTube subscription engine was better and you could subscribe like you do to podcasts on YouTube, then I'd say, no, absolutely put it there and let people subscribe to it. I mean, how awesome would that be if YouTube had solid RSS feeds that you could stream only? I get it. They don't want to download. I get that. But at least stream efficiently. I mean, it's a mess. Google's just not getting this, and it's driving me nuts that they're missing. They're so smart over there, and you would think they would be inclined to get the most people listening to their stuff or watching their stuff as possible. And all they think about is these viral video views where people are clicking and all that other stuff. And there would be such an awesome opportunity if you could actually get the subscription stuff to work. So Google, fix it, would you?
Yeah. The another strategy is if you're doing a video podcast, Barry Katz, who does the industry standard, he's a manager for every basically top comedian that's ever been. Dave Chappelle, Jay Moore, Mark Maron. He's been, it's funny because he helps them get popular. And at that point they go, oh, I don't need you. And they then fire him. It's interesting. But he videotapes the whole thing. And then he puts a clip, like one question at a time, up at YouTube, all of them pointing back to his website and his iTunes. He's got a big link right there to iTunes and another link to Stitcher. So he's using it to, tease people. But it's still like, it's not, I love when people like stop mid-answer. Like, they're like, what do you think about this? Well, here's the way that you get to make a mi-. And they're like, all right, for the rest of it, you got to, I'm like, no, don't do that.
Oh, man, that's so ShamWow. Come on.
But this is an actual question and answer. It's a complete, on its own, it's a little question and answer. And it's like, hey, for more information, here to listen to the full episode. So I was like, that's another strategy that you could use YouTube for, especially video, man. It's just, wow, talk about 4-to-1 for an audio. It's like, I'm doing a video for the New Media Expo, and I did it and made the mistake of saying, let's see, I said it NA, I think I said the NAB show. And NAB is super sensitive on how you refer to the to NAB show. And one of them is it's not the NAB show, it's just NAB show. So I have to go back and re-record the video. And I was like, it took me forever to do the first one. So, but it's worth, I like the idea again. If it's not going to hurt, and you could always go in and see, on one hand, it's like you said, if it's automatically doing it via Spreaker or whatever you do it to, it's not taking you any more time. You know, it has a potential maybe to get a few views or listens and things like that. So what's it going to hurt? And you could always go in. You can always go into your stats and see how far people are listening. And
especially if you don't have video already. I mean, if you don't have video, it gives you a YouTube presence. Yep. You know, yeah. So Eileen is talking to me out there about, well, I'm blaming Google, but why am I not also blaming Apple at the same time? Well, I think this Google owns YouTube, and Google has not created or has not added on to YouTube in a way that makes a subscription makes subscription work. So yeah, I think that part's Google's fault. I don't know why I would blame Apple at that point. I know iTunes requires a solid RSS feed to make it work. You can't get a solid RSS feed out of YouTube. So I guess maybe she's saying to me that if Apple would not require that RSS feed, another way to do it, maybe we could get through iTunes. Maybe that's what she's saying. So
that's right. And of course,
Eileen,
she can always call in if she wants.
Yeah, call in. Let me know.
It's 347-850-8007. 347-850-8007.
Apple gets it right in this case. They made this thing work. They made podcasting work. And I get they're having, you know, there's a Google Apple war going on, and they don't want to do that on, you know. Could you imagine if, well, first of all, it wouldn't work, but could you imagine if there were good RSS feeds out of YouTube and you could put those in iTunes and people could subscribe to the videos?
Man, that would be
that
fun.
Way. I mean, how cool would that be if that actually worked? But I mean, all Google has to do is create like real RSS feeds. By the way, they have another product called FeedBurner.
Yeah.
That specialized in that, and they abandoned it. So again, Google has left. You know, they're not helping us here. Google's not a friend to podcasters from this standpoint. And yet, they've got this awesome product that we're using right here, right now.
Right.
Like that. You know, it's like it's so maddening.
Yeah.
Come on, Google, figure it out.
It is odd, and the only thing I can think of is just because they can't find a way to monetize it. You know, I think if they could put an ad in front of your podcast or something, then they'd be all about it. But that would be great.
Oh man, if there's a YouTube player that worked like iTunes,
yeah,
they could just clean up. Yeah. I mean, man, they could clean up on this
Mike,
stuff.
Mike Dell says Google hates RSS. Apparently,
they do hate it. They do hate RSS. Yeah, they do.
Well, because
I don't disagree.
You can't put ads in it. They tried with FeedBurner, and I never really.
Tried in a day when they were trying to advertise to a bunch of tech people, and we're all too smart to deal with ads and stuff. I think now with the popularity of Serial and some of those other the NPR podcasts, I think those days are back. I think if they could monetize with some ads out in front, you know, and that they do it on YouTube. Again, they do this already. They just the subscription engine just doesn't work for them. So
yeah, it is. Yes. I have been subscribing to more things on YouTube. So like when I go to YouTube now, it's kind of like, here's, you know, that part. It shows me what it's kind of good because it shows me the people that I want to see their content, that they have new content on it. It's driving me nuts that now it's adding, hey, since you like these three people, here's a huge list of things we think you'll like. And I'm like, I don't want to watch, you know, Power Princess Power Hour. I'm like, what? Who? You know, it's like when somebody else watches your Netflix account, And it completely messes up your here's the things we think you're like. No, why would I want to watch, you know, Grey's Anatomy? What? So that's always fun when that happens.
Craig asked a good question. Is there money in podcasting for Google? And I think there is. I mean, I think not directly, but certainly Apple is now seeing that it's driving users onto their iTunes platform, which I think for a while they tried to kill. And then somebody went, oh, hey, actually, you know what? If we get a lot of eyeballs in iTunes, we can get people buying our stuff. I mean, they've been probably watching their music purchases be eroded away by Amazon and Spotify, and it's like, hey, let's get our eyeballs back onto iTunes so folks will buy their music that way. So is there music directly, or I mean, is there money directly in podcasting for Google? Yeah, I think there is. If they can harness the power of the subscription engine, make it work, and then deliver ads through that, I think a really dynamite ad-based a player of sort for YouTube would be dynamite. If people could make it work and it would stream it, that would be pretty cool. Certainly, Stitcher has figured it out, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't make much money.
Yeah, but they figured it out. It just didn't work.
Yeah. It's probably true. Yeah. You can argue with me and that would be okay. I wouldn't die for this one.
Frank has a question. I mentioned actually Hanny from Simple. I should know that. Simple Podcast Press. It's on Ask the Podcast Coach. If you go to, you know, the front page and click on one of those, I think it's Simple Podcast Press. I think I said Simple Power Press later, and that's the only thing that's somewhat confusing about it is the fact that it is. And then there's another one, the smart podcast player that puts a little widget in the upper right hand corner. Let me see here as I scroll down. Yeah, Simple Podcast Press is the name of it. And I'm using it on Ask the Podcast Coach. And this is where it doesn't happen a lot. But one of the only things you have to watch out with WordPress is, in theory, there are standards for creating a plugin. And you're supposed to, you know, hit those standards. And that way everybody plays nice together. And the one day I woke up and everything on the School of Podcasting was blue. The background was blue. Everything was blue. And it made everything really, it just looked like, I mean, as you can imagine, just that enough is enough to go, what? And so I, you know, in a case like that, the first thing you do is disable all plugins and then turn them on one by one. And when I turned his on, therein came the blue. And I went, oh, okay, that's the problem. So I emailed him. I said, Hanny, you just turned my whole website blue. And he's a really nice guy. Apologized up and down. And literally within an hour, a new version of the plugin came out that it somehow, you know, and it wasn't so much his plugin, but something else made his plugin do something. You know, there's a conflict, basically. So he fixed it super easy. It's not that I'm scared. I've never turned it back on the School of Podcasting. I guess I could. It's on the Ask the Podcast Coach show. Do I think it works? I don't know. I don't get a huge number. I don't talk a lot about the newsletter. I mean, there's a sign up form at askthepodcastcoach.com if you want to get the show notes delivered to your door for free. I use also Opt-in Monster on the School of Podcasting that will prompt you to sign up for the newsletter. It's hard to tell. I guess I could make sign up boxes to figure out where people are coming from when they sign up. I don't know that either one made a tsunami of. I get maybe, you know, a handful of people a month that sign up for my newsletter.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. I.
You know what, Dave, what I did find, though, with the newsletter, I do it differently than you. I give a once-a-month update from me personally. So I write a letter to my listeners and a little bit of inside baseball stuff. What's going on with me? What's going on with the network? This week, I published some numbers in my newsletter, or last week. I published some numbers in my newsletter that the listeners aren't going to get anywhere else. Those kinds of things, you know, like, hey, I just want to let you know, here's our stats, you know, and to our newsletter folks, here's our stats and here's the listeners and stuff. And I'm surprised I get back notes from my listeners who say, hey, thanks for doing this because I'm not on social media. I'm not on YouTube. I mean, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. And I know you are, and I know you talk about those things all the time, but I appreciate getting this inside look without having to be on those social media channels. So you think about this, podcaster, if you're out there. You might have listeners. You know, you say you know, go to my Twitter and join me on Facebook and, you know, get me in Pinterest. And there's people who don't do that, that listen to podcasts. I have a very tech audience, and I'm still finding pockets of people who don't do social. So the chances, if you're not a tech show, chances are your audience, you probably even have more of those who may not be in the social places or don't want to participate in that way. So think about a newsletter from that standpoint. It just might be a personal update from you. I send it once a month. I don't spam them. And I just say, hey, here's a note from me if you want to get that. So there's another idea for you. I see we have a caller.
We do. Ending in 8316. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Good morning, guys. It's Miss Eileen.
There she is. The adorable tones of Miss Eileen. You know what's cool about you, Miss Eileen? Seriously, I can hear your smile.
What?
I can.
You know, it's amazing that I'm actually smiling today because on Tuesday, I got my knee replaced.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and this is actually my second knee replacement, and they do things a whole lot differently. The first one I had replaced in 2008, and I probably would still be in the hospital. But now you get your knee replaced one day, and they send you home the next.
Wow.
So I'm here dealing with that, and I had ice on my knee and stuff, but I have to weigh in on this RSS feed and
sure.
YouTube versus Apple. You know, I really am a big YouTube person, and I'm watching, like right now, I have you casted onto the big screen. You know, I'm always watching YouTube, and when I'm not, I may listen to my podcast. I'll also cast them onto my TV. I know I listen to podcasts in a very, very unusual and unique way. But years ago, actually, when I first started podcasting, and I think between Daniel and Ray and Dave, the first person that I started following was Ray. And Ray said, well, if you have a YouTube channel, you can use Blip, Blip TV, and you can send your feed to iTunes. And I did that. And that was my real first podcast. That's why when people ask me now, how long have you been podcasting? Well, I sort of was podcasting with video, but then, you know, Blip TV, they did whatever they did. And all of a sudden they yanked my feed because I don't know, who knows? I guess they knew that they were going to get out of that free hosting game.
Yeah.
So, but in the meantime, you know, I probably spend more time with my YouTube channel than I do with my podcast. So I found a lot of things that I can do with that RSS feed. So in fact, I use it for social media promotion because a couple of the bloggers networks, if anybody who doesn't know me, I'm pretty big on blogging and I'm in a lot of bloggers networks. And there's one called Triber. I use my YouTube RSS feed. So the YouTube RSS feed works in a lot of places. So when I see that it doesn't work in Apple, it's not valid by the feed validator, the first thing that comes to my mind is the darn iTunes.
Yeah.
So when I hear Jim say, Google needs to get it together, and I'm saying to myself, no. Apple needs to get it together, or they just need to stop fighting because they're hurting us. But I guess they both don't care because they both have their own business models. And of course, Apple makes, I don't know, buckets and buckets of money. And I guess Google makes even more buckles. I don't even know who makes more money. They're both big. They're both huge. And so does Google need to care about podcasting? Nah, not really.
Yeah. I think they're doing okay.
Do they care if they have a native app on their phone? Nah, evidently they don't care. And does Apple care that you can't put your YouTube feed into iTunes? Hecky no. Yeah. They definitely don't care. I just want to bring up the fact that I don't think it's all Google's fault. I think these guys have some kind of little behind the scenes war going on outside of what we all see. Because, you know, if you're into podcasting and YouTube, you know, there's a lot of things that are very evident that are right in front of your face. But there's other stuff that's going on, I think, that we don't even see. Because there is no reason that these, all the brilliant minds, the geniuses at these two companies, it's not that they can't get it together. They don't want to. Okay, am I right?
You definitely, Jim?
No, I don't think so. I think it's Google's fault. They could absolutely change their RSS feed to make it work. It's not a good excuse.
Wait a minute. And you don't think that Apple could change the way they accept feeds to make it work?
Why would they have to? Huh? Right? If they already have a published
standard. That's the same thing with Google.
Right? But they have a published standard.
Why would Google have to?
They were the first out the gate, and they have a published standard, right? It's not that hard to make that standard compliant. I totally blame Google. I'm not saying Apple's off the hook on some of these things, but this is a situation. Listen, I'm no fanboy of either side on those, right? In this case, it would not be difficult for Google to make this work in YouTube on iTunes. Not difficult at all. They choose not to. The RSS feed that iTunes has taken has been a standard for 10 years. So it's not like they're changing it to block it for YouTube only. So they could do it. The model would need to change a little bit, right? YouTube would need to allow for downloads and to really make this work. Okay. And that doesn't exist today. So I see your point, Eileen. I do. I totally do. But I can't agree with it from that standpoint.
Well, let me just say that in my other life that's not online, my real job, I work for a standards development organization, and it's really the number one standards development organization in the world. So it's ironic that you would bring up standards. And what happens is, in order for standards to be fair and what we call consensus standards, all of the major players and stakeholders need to be at the table. So that one mega company doesn't have their way. So Apple, in other words, Apple and Google and whoever else, Stitcher, let's just say they were going to redo the whole standards thing. They all have to be at the table. Apple can just say, oh, I was here first.
Yeah.
It doesn't. If you want fair consensus standards, there has to be equal representation. Now, there's been some talk. I hear you guys talking about the loudness standards. In fact, Todd Cochran talked about it a lot on his show. And I'm saying to myself, boy, they're not doing standards right. I know they're not. But it's okay, because you got to start somewhere. But when it comes to standards, that's a very sensitive issue for me. And the fact that Apple is just like, well, we were here first, and so what we said is the way it's supposed to go. Well, it's just definitely not a good argument.
We had a question from the chat room for you that when you're talking about RSS on YouTube, how are you putting that? How are you putting that someplace else? Like, they're saying, like, where's the RSS feed?
Okay. The RSS, I'm actually taking that RSS feed, and I have the format for it. I can post it in the chat room. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually running it through FeedBurner.
Ah.
The beauty of doing it that way is you can also use it in that service that everybody seems to love, IFTTT.
Yeah.
You can use it, and like I said, I use it on Triber, you know. In fact, I have a YouTuber tribe on Triber, and I require everyone to have only their YouTube feed, and I show them how to do it. Now, in all fairness, everybody doesn't read the instructions, and so I let some people slide. But the ones that get it, they get it. And it's beautiful, because You're just getting your video shared in the one tribe, and then in another tribe, you may be getting that blog post shared that has the video embedded. So you're getting double shares there. But that's a whole other marketing thing there.
Yeah.
But I had to weigh in because, like I said, my first reaction when I first tried to submit my YouTube, this was when I didn't know that much about RSS feeds or anything like that. And I first tried to submit my YouTube RSS feed, and I got that, you know, from Feed Validator that it's an invalid feed. The first thing that came to my mind, because I'm not an Apple fan person, even though I have a Mac now, I admit it, I gave in. the first thing that came to my mind was that darn Apple. Because to me, YouTube is like the one that you should be catering to, not Apple. But I know the podcasters, please don't throw any more tomatoes at me. I know this is blasphemy. I realize that I'm not speaking what you guys want to hear. No. But, you know, you have to have, that's the point of having this little chat, is that, you know, you have opposing points of view. And it's okay, Jim. I'm still your friend.
That's awesome.
I'm still your friend, but I just know that there's something going on between Apple and Google. Just like iTunes doesn't accept the YouTube feed, Google doesn't have a native app for podcasting, which is just ridiculous.
Right.
But, you know, people look at Google and say, oh, my God, that's horrible. But most podcasters love Apple, so they would never say, they don't accept the YouTube RSS feed. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what I said.
That's right. Can't we all just get along, man? Awesome.
Yeah, and please have sympathy for me because my knee, I have a boo-boo, a major boo-boo here.
Hang in there. I know the rehab on that is not going to be a lot of fun. But definitely, I love your website, basicblogtips.com. I was checking it out while you were talking. You got some really cool stuff over there. So everybody check that out.
And, oh, thank you.
And
I'm using that same theme, the same theme you're using, the Podcast Pro, because, you know, Joey Kissman and I are pretty good buds.
Oh, yeah.
And so I love the appendipity themes, and so I definitely want to give a plug for that as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you very much, Miss Eileen.
And if you guys want to, if you want to find me on YouTube, it's Miss Eileen Speaks, and that's I-L-E-A-N-E. Okay?
All right. Thank you much.
Hey, thanks
All
for calling
right.
in.
Love you, Jim.
I love you, too.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. There you go. Taking off the gloves today.
I still totally disagree.
But, man, that hour went fast.
It does go fast.
You know, I really do look forward to, like, Friday night, like, when I go to bed, I'm like, it's almost time for Ask the Podcast Coach. A lot of fun. So, a lot of good discussion today. Good stuff. And what is the post that they're talking about in the chat room, Jim?
The one I was trying to post in the format for the YouTube RSS feed, and it kept recognizing it as something else, and it would block it. And it's like, couldn't get it in. So anyways, I did put it in. It's just basically youtube.com/user/your-channel-name/feed.
There we go.
That's how you get your RSS feed for YouTube.
Got it. Well, as always, you can find Jim over at Ask the Pod. Well, you can find us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Find Jim at theaverageguy.tv. Find me at schoolpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 to save off your first month. And we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.